You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Good to have you with us. Welcome along to the latest edition of the Punt Podcast, here with William Hill, Dave Kellner, Tom Kerwin, Derek McGovern, set and ready to take you through the 10 Premier League games this weekend. First of all, welcome back. He's decided to rock up this week. Tom Kerwin, first of all, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. You should be very happy. I turned down speaking at Donald Trump's inauguration to be with you guys. You know, so just be thankful.
Derek, have you turned down the chance to perform at Trump's inauguration?
Yeah, they asked me and Rebecca Ferguson to sing, and we don't like his politics, so we both turned them down. He was gutted, more so by me than Rebecca's refusal, obviously.
Let's get stuck into this weekend then, chaps. 10 games to look at, and as always, we start with the televised matches. And first up, it's Liverpool versus Swansea, which is Saturday, 12:30. Liverpool 2-9 to win this match. The draw 6-1 with Swansea in the market at 12-1. The enhanced odds, Adam Lallana to score and Liverpool to win, was 23-20, now 6-4. Gylfi Sigurdsson to score and Swansea to win was 20-1 and now 25-1. Derek, 1-1 draw for Liverpool last weekend against Manchester United. I thought they missed Sadio Mane in that match because United were putting a little bit of pressure on in the second half. Went route one, brought Mauro and Fellaini on, had Zlatan Ibrahimovic obviously up front. But Liverpool not quite as successful on the counter-attack as they might have been with Mane in the lineup.
Yeah, they had a few chances, Liverpool. It was a perfect game for Liverpool, to be honest. They looked weary in the second half and they were under a lot of pressure. But that's the kind of game Liverpool should have loved, you know, the chance to counter and break. And it just didn't seem matter. They seemed to lose a little bit of their zip in the second half. I mean, Swansea have got to be a lot more to their liking than United at Old Trafford, obviously. But I've looked at this, you know, and I've decided two things. It's either going to be 8-0 for Liverpool or 2-2. Because it's just one of those fixtures that you think, well, Liverpool should win this. But they've had a lot of games recently and they're 2-9. I know it's only Swansea and Liverpool have polished off, you know, opposition like this on a regular basis at Anfield, apart from when West Ham pitched up a couple of weeks ago and it was 2-2. I feel uneasy about backing Liverpool at 2-9. You know, when you see that price, it's only for the big hits, is that? Then you look further down the list on the Hills website and Liverpool to win and both teams to score is 13-8. Now, that seems a ridiculously big difference. You know, 2-9 and 13-8, I'm going to have to go for that because I can see Swansea scoring, to be honest, because they do score even though they get tonked an awful lot of times. They do manage to find the net, especially, and this Liverpool defence is not convincing anybody. But I don't think they're going to score enough to stop Liverpool winning. And I don't mind backing 13-8 losers. I despise backing 2-9 losers, even though I do it on a regular basis. So that's where I'm going for. Liverpool to win and both teams to score. 13-8.
That is a bet, Tom, as well, in the last 6 months that has been profitable when deciding on the on what bet to go for in Liverpool matches. Liverpool to win and both teams to score at 13-8 for Derek. One stat that jumps out at me here as far as Swansea are concerned, Tom, is that 4-0 loss last weekend at the Liberty against Arsenal, that was the 11th time this season they've conceded three or more goals in a game, which is a damning statistic. It's really poor. Swansea, they capitulate.
Well, they do, and, you know, you can't underestimate the absence of Ashley Williams. You know, I wasn't his biggest fan, but there was no doubt the presence he had on the pitch. And it's no surprise that Paul Clement has talked this week, and I'm sure he's trying to make a move for John Terry. He's talked about getting that kind of player into the team. If they've got any chance of staying up, they need some leaders. You know, the recruitment that he's done already has not been bad. There seems to be a little bit of positivity about Paul Clement's arrival. And there's no doubt, I think, with a week on the training pitch, we'll see a better Swansea side, but I don't think we'll see a Swansea side that is suddenly going to be able to get a result at a place like Anfield, and he's not going to be able to sort out all the defensive issues straight away. The problem is with Swansea is there's been a neglect there, hasn't there? You know, like they've sold their better players year in, year out. They've failed to replace them with anywhere near the kind of quality, and I think they just the malaise that was there, they just expect to kind of keep doing what they were doing and changing managers. It was just never going to happen for them, and they still had quite an ageing defence. So I think Swansea will get better. I'm not saying they're going to stay up, but I think we'll see an improved performance from them for sure, and I think Paul Clement will will have to focus on the defensive side of things. Now, look, he's coming up against a team that, as we know, when they're in top gear and when they're playing well, even without Sadio Mane at the moment, they're a joy to watch and they're very difficult to deal with. And Liverpool have absolutely destroyed teams of Swansea's level, particularly at Anfield this season. I know they've had a few stuttering results, but on the whole, they've been scoring goals. And, you know, that bet you mentioned there, Dave, I think you were like a broken record at one stage this season, you know, every week, because it was you can't back their defence, but their attack is irresistible. I look at this one, there's one way I might look at it, and I look at Swansea. I quite like Paul Clement. You know, people talk about his job he did at Derby, but there was a little bit more to it than that. I can look at Swansea maybe frustrating Liverpool here, and I can look at the double result draw Liverpool at 7-2. You know, Liverpool aren't in great form, there's no question about that. And will Swansea have enough, you know, to maybe see them off to half-time and maybe keep things a little bit tighter? But ultimately, Liverpool are going to come through. So I don't mind the draw Liverpool at 7-2, but I can't look past Adam Lallana. I think he's been sensational this season. He scored as many goals as he has got assists, which is a lot. And 6-4 for him to score in a Liverpool win is not bad at all. I'm unsure about the scoreline here. I mean, exactly like Derek, I think it could be. It wouldn't surprise you if the full-time score comes in and it's 5-1, 5-2, 4-1, whatever it might be. But equally, 2-0. Maybe even 1-0. That won't shock you either, would it? But Liverpool get over the line. But I'm going to take a punt on Adam Lallana to find the back of
it. Just a quick one. You mentioned Ashley Williams there. Until about a week ago, you'd have said, like, name a signing who, when he left the club, damaged two clubs. Because obviously Swansea were damaged. And he's been useless at Everton. Yeah. I don't know. Ever Tony had a good word to say about him. Until last week, he had a decent game against City. So, I just wanted to bring that up anyway to show how clever I was.
Is that all it takes, Derek? That one line and it's done. Job done for the weekend.
Just toss the grenade in.
Liverpool 2-9 to win that game. The draw 6-1. Swansea in the market at 12-1. The big match this weekend is Man City versus Spurs. 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. Man City 23-20. The draw 12-5. Spurs in the betting at 13-5. Enhanced odds, Sergio Aguero to score and City to win was 19-10 and now 5-2. Harry Kane to score and Spurs to win was 18-5. That's been enhanced to 4-1. Big game for both clubs, this one, it goes without saying. And Man City were walloped by Everton last weekend. And every time I switch on Talk Sport, Tom, they're talking about how Pep Guardiola has completely lost the plot. Do you think that's the case? He's obviously struggling at the moment. Do you think he's got any idea how to change things?
Hold on, they were talking about Man City, not Arsenal, consistently. No, look, Man City are in a bit of bother. I think the problem for them is when I look at them, I don't see a manager who gives across the air of somebody who kind of knows what he's doing at the moment. He just looked like a frustrated supporter last week. And, you know, his team were hammered. He has tried every combination of almost every player within his squad. If he's trying to prove the point, we've said this before, but if he's trying to prove the point to the owners, and I don't think he's in a position where he needs to do that, but is that what he's trying to do? I mean, Pablo Zabaleta in central midfield, and you know, John Stones is surrounded by complete imbeciles, and he's not doing himself any favours either. He just has not got a grip of this squad whatsoever, Pep Guardiola, and they're a team now that you're looking at their top four challenge and thinking it's going to be a real tough ask for them, because, you know, Manchester United were just below them a couple of points. They're likely to leapfrog them this weekend, you know, and if they do, I just can't see Man City with the mentality, because most of those players now know they're on their way out, and there isn't necessarily a surge of young players, sort of, you know, good players waiting to kind of replace them. So he's in complete limbo at the moment, and what he's not doing, Pep Guardiola, is he's not setting up his side to try and get a result. I think he is sticking to kind of those principles, and he just doesn't have the tools at his disposal. So it is not a happy camp. They've conceded a lot of goals, particularly when they've come up against other teams in the top six. I think 8 goals conceded in their games against the teams in and around them. And they're coming up against Tottenham, of course, who are in a rich vein of form. You know, beat Man City pretty comfortably down at White Hart Lane in a very good performance. Ended Chelsea's, you know, winning run. You know, and since then they've not looked back. They haven't conceded in the last 3 matches. They've scored a lot of goals. You know, and West Brom, okay, they had a bad day last week, but Spurs were unbelievable. They've only lost 2 matches on the road this season, and Tottenham now are breathing down Chelsea's neck. I think Tottenham will be saying to themselves, let's go there and get a win. Ordinarily, other times in the season, you might look at Man City and think, obviously, a point is a good result, but not at the moment. Man City aren't playing well. Tottenham are. They've got players in form all over the pitch, and I really think this is going to be a Tottenham victory. And actually, you know, when you kind of, when you're looking at the prices here, particularly when you kind of want to look at the goal scorers, is it impossible to look past somebody like Harry Kane? 13 goals in his last 16 appearances, hat trick last week. He's in incredible form. Him to score in a Tottenham win is 4-1. I think it's incredible value because he and all the supporting cast he's got around him are going to give that Man City team the complete runaround.
Tom mentioned that reverse fixture. They ripped them apart, really. It was 2-0, the final scoreline. But that was the first time at that particular point in the season that Tottenham had shown a blueprint of how to play Manchester City, pressing them high up the field. Didn't allow those wing-backs any space at all in that match. Some really troubling statistics if you're a Man City fan as well. Claudio Bravo, who's come in for criticism ever since he was signed, really, he's conceded 14 goals from the past 22 shots he's faced, and only two of Aguero's last 39 Premier League goals have come versus top six sides as well, so he hasn't necessarily performed against the best sides in the league so far. And Tottenham come into this having won their last six league games as well, so as far as momentum, if you believe in momentum, Derek, as far as that's concerned, Tottenham have it all going into this match this weekend.
Oh, that Bravo statistic is amazing, isn't it? I mean, he's made some saves. Remember that?
Well, precisely, yeah. Eight saves there.
He's a joke, that guy. I mean, and the manager is an even bigger joke for thinking he was a better bet than Joe Hart. I mean, he's made an absolute clot of himself, Pep Guardiola, in a short time at the Etihad. And if you're right, you mentioned Pablo Zabaleta in midfield. It's like putting Gary Neville in central midfield and expecting him to win the league. Where's the difference? He's had no stick whatsoever. Remember the stick Kevin Keegan got for putting Gareth Southgate in there as a holding midfielder in an England team? And that was more logical than Zabaleta in midfield. It's ridiculous. And you're right, he does look as though he's lost everything. The plot matches the dressing room. I don't see any way back. I really don't think he'll be there next season, seriously, because he just looks like a man who's had enough. And City aren't going to finish in the top four at the moment. They look at a team that's lost everything. What worries me about Tottenham, the price is fantastic. A team that's probably playing better than anybody in the league at the moment are 13-5 against a team that's shot to pieces. That is a great bet. My only worry is that in 10 away games this season, Tottenham supposedly flying have won only four. That's not a great record. Chelsea have won eight. You know, and it's only a couple more than Swansea have won away from home. Worries me slightly that. It implies maybe that Pochettino, the manager, doesn't have the ambition he should have away from home. That said, you don't often get 13-5 about a team as informed as Tottenham to beat a side like City who are in bits. It's the only possible bet.
13-5 Spurs for both Derek and Tom. Let's move on to the TV games on Sunday, and we start at St Mary's, Southampton versus Leicester. A 17-20 Southampton to win this match. The draw 12-5 with Leicester City 19-5. The enhanced odds, J. Rodriguez to score and Southampton to win was 2-1. It's now 5-2. And Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win was 11-2. That's now 7-1. They've lost four straight matches in the Premier League, Southampton. And Leicester were battered at home against Chelsea. You're taking a leap of faith, Derek, here, aren't you? Backing Southampton at odds on to win a match.
I can't believe it again. It's always Southampton. Your odds compilers are definitely married to Claude Puel or something, because it doesn't make sense. Why on earth are they odds on? Okay, Leicester are not fooling anybody at the moment. But you know, with Leicester, they are capable of doing a number on a team. Remember that game against Man City a few weeks ago? And at this price, I mean, okay, you close your eyes and hope and you back Leicester these days. But I don't mind backing teams like that at almost 4-1. What I definitely don't want to do is back teams like that at 17-20. And Southampton, in my eyes, are exactly the same as Leicester. You can't trust them. Did you say four defeats on the spin and their odds on against the champions? Is the world's most ridiculous price that. And I don't care. Even if Leicester lose 7-0 on Saturday, which of course they won't, I will still argue forever that I had the right bet. That's what a clown I am as well. I'm going for Leicester here. It's just overpriced to a massive, massive degree.
19-5 Leicester. Do you think though, Derek, we've got to start treating Leicester how we treated them at the start of last season? I know they won the league last year, but at the start of last season, everyone was thinking this is a team that are going to struggle this season, be battling to survive in the Premier League. Haven't we just got to start treating them as that side right now?
Possibly. But two things I would say against that. Firstly, the season before that, they finished it fantastically well. So, you know, maybe the doommongers were all wrong anyway at the start of the title-winning campaign. And secondly, this is a team that are in the knockout stages of the Champions League, so they've still got something about them, obviously. So, and whereas Southampton, no, I just do not see it. Sorry.
19-5 Leicester for Derek. The last time Leicester won away from home in the league was back in April last year. Tom, Southampton versus Leicester, how do you view this?
Well, I look at Leicester and they're certainly not out of the relegation fight, that is for sure. I don't think they're going to go down, but they're not out of it. And when you look at the next sort of run of fixtures in the Premier League, there's some crucial games for them coming up, you know, because they go to Southampton, they go to Burnley, they host Manchester United, then they go to Swansea. So, they're playing against some teams that are in and around them down the bottom of the table. And a bit like West Ham over Christmas, if they win those games, they'll basically shut the door on any sniff of going down. But they've got to be careful because the Champions League is coming back around pretty quickly. And we saw how destabilising it was on their form when it did come around. And Southampton, it's just all gone wrong for them. You know, they were doing all right for a period. You know, when Charlie Austin's fit, all of a sudden they've got a goal poacher. And generally their play is pretty good because they probably have, you know, outside maybe some of the teams in the top six, and I'd argue maybe better than some of the teams in the top six, they've got some of the best centre-backs in the league, you know, particularly partnerships. So people like Yeshida and Van Dijk, absolute top players. And they're a tough side to score against. And I think they'll make life tough for Leicester, who aren't firing. They can't get any rhythm going whatsoever. That Man City game, I think, was a complete one-off. And we've seen Man City since then, and it probably explains a lot. But Southampton are in no form. They won three of the last 13 Premier League games. They're slipping down the table at an alarming rate. I can only see a draw here. I'm unsure even to think about goals. I don't see a lot of goals in the game. You know, but when I've looked at the prices, there's nothing to really tempt me. So I just think this will be a draw at 12-5. I think it's baby steps for Leicester away from home, and I think they'd probably take it. And Southampton, you can't back them to win. Maybe the draw, no bet. Leicester could be tempting for me at 9-4, but I'm going to play the draw at 12-5 in this one.
They need to find a goal scorer, don't they, Tom? Yeah. Southampton, desperately. Because they've got no one to put it in the back of the net.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, they've got, I mean, someone like Jay Rodriguez, for example, I'm a big admirer of. And you remember he was flying, you know, they were talking about him getting the England set, you know, before he had that, the year, 18 months he had off with an injury. But he's still not an out-and-out striker. He's one of those players where you think, well, where does he play? He plays in that three behind. There's Redmond there. You know, Bufalo, who's injured at the moment, is a good player. You know, Charlie Austin is the goal poacher. You know, and it just goes to show, you know, we talk about the Premier League and systems and, you know, number 10s and false number 9s and everything else. But if you have somebody like a Jermaine Defoe, and whatever you think about Charlie Austin, he is an out-and-out poacher. In that penalty area, he comes alive. Every team needs them because you can do all the great build-up play. If you don't have somebody in there putting the back of there, which is still the hardest thing to do, you're going to struggle, and that's what they're doing at the moment.
Arsenal versus Burnley next at the Emirates, 2:15. Arsenal 1-5 to win the game. The draw 6-1 with Burnley, 14-1. Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win, one of the enhanced odds offers. That was 17-10, now 2-1. Alexis Sanchez to score, Arsenal to win 2-0, 3-0 or 4-0, was 16-5. That's been enhanced to 7-2. Not necessarily those two players doing the damage, though, at the moment, Tom. It's been Olivier Giroud. He's been sensational since working his way back into that starting 11. He's scored in each of his last 9 starts and opened the scoring against West Brom, Swansea and Crystal Palace in 3 of Arsenal's last 4 Premier League matches. He's 3-1 to score first, which could be of interest. Do you see this being a comprehensive Arsenal victory, Tom?
Well, look, we look at this and we know Burnley away from home, of course, have been absolutely awful. And they could probably think they're going to go through the entire season. I mean, we knew at the beginning of the season that obviously Turf Moor was going to be key for them because it is a unique place for opposition sides to go and a stronghold for them, as it has been, you know, throughout their seasons going up and down the last few years. It's been tough for teams. But they might go through the whole season and comfortably stay up and not win a game away from home all season. And I think they're in a position now where they're probably feeling that might well be the case. You know, you kind of look at where they are in the table. Would you say they're in a relegation fight? Do you think they're in any kind of trouble? They're 10th in the table. I think they're safe because they're going to pick up enough points. So away from home, and again, something we've kind of touched on, you know, for the last couple of months is, does Sean Dyche do something a little bit different? Because his home form's so good, because they're in the top 4, top 5 on home form, does he away from home then change things a little bit? Does he go for teams? Because he doesn't need to go there with 10 behind the ball and make life difficult. You know, they can show a little bit of freedom because they've got the points in the bag. And they started to do that, you know. 2-1 defeat at Tottenham, didn't disgrace themselves. 2-1 defeat at Man City, you know, and for the discrepancy in terms of wage and squad, I know we talked about how bad Man City are. You know, 0-0 at Sunderland, yeah, fair enough. But the score lines are tight away from home. Nobody is going to smash this Burnley side. West Brom did on that Monday night where they completely capitulated. But apart from that, away from home, Burnley are a side that will not collapse. It's just not in them, I don't think. And when it does, it's a bit of a freak. Arsenal, look, I mean, 1-5. I'd expect Burnley actually to be a little bit bigger given the fact they haven't won away from 14-1. I was hoping for sort of 16s or maybe even bigger. I don't know. I suppose if I'm looking at Arsenal winning a game, maybe, you know, you bat them on the handicap tie just to win by the goal at 16-5. If not, you're probably looking at the goal scorers, and it'd be difficult to look past, you know, the player you mentioned there and Olivier Giroud. But Arsenal and both teams to score as well, worth a look, because you cannot be backing Arsenal to keep a clean sheet.
They are 1-5 to win this game, Arsenal. I think the next couple of months for Burnley are going to be telling, Derek, because this run they've got now, the next 8 games, 6 of them away from Turf Moor, just 2 at home. So they might have to pick up 1 or 2 points on the road just to keep their heads above water.
Yeah, I think they will have to. I mean, but you've got to pay credit to the manager, Sean Dyche. I mean, he's a remarkable job, steering them from relegation heartland to 10th spot, which I think is still relegation heartland. I mean, he has done fantastically well. The results at home, I mean, you've napped them time after time until I pinched them off you last week. They've been sensational. But, you know, you look at Arsenal, you see 1-5, and they've been like that kind of price against teams like Burnley, you know, a number of times this season. Just looking at some of the results against those supposed no-hopers, they only just beat Swansea 3-2, that was back in October. You know, even against Palace last week, who everybody's beaten, not last week, a couple of weeks ago, it was only 2-0. And one or two other matches which have been a lot closer, 0-0 against Middlesbrough at home. You know, so they're not the infallible 1-5 folks that you'd hope. And I can see Burnley doing a number on them here. You know, I'm not going to tip Burnley to win. Remember the reverse fixture? Burnley did park the bus. That was at home, and Arsenal only got a very, very late goal. I can see something similar like that happening again. And I see Burnley with a 2-goal start, 5-4. I like the look of that, you know, because what Tom said was pertinent there. They are away from home, giving them, without getting the points, they're giving a much better account of themselves now. Maybe they've got the confidence behind than they were earlier in the season. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a lot tougher for Arsenal than these odds imply. Burnley are nobody's mugs. Burnley with 2 goals, 5-4 for me.
Very good. Chelsea versus Hull City is the last of the TV games this weekend. A 4:30 kickoff on Sunday afternoon. And Chelsea are 2-11 to win this game. The draw 13-2. Hull in the betting at 16-1. A new feature on the William Hill website right now is hashtag your odds, which is worth a look, definitely. If there's a bet that you fancy that's not on the app or on the website, just tweet with the hashtag your odds to at William Hill, and the traders will try to price it up. If you're already on the website, log on and you'll already see a lot of the hashtag your odds bets on there. It's available on all the televised Premier League matches this weekend. Do make sure you check it out. Hashtag your odds here at William Hill. Chelsea 2-11 to win this game. The draw 13-2 with Hull in the market at 16-1. And Derek, last weekend, even without Diego Costa in the starting lineup, Chelsea were absolutely dominant against Leicester City. Put them to the sword, and they'll be expecting to do the same thing against Hull. I'm not sure whether Costa and Conte have unified now and resolved their differences, Derek, but they didn't miss him last weekend. They might do down the stretch, but they didn't last weekend.
I don't know whether they'd kissed and made up, but would you kiss Costa? I mean, they were sensational, and they have been for a number of months now, not weeks, and they will beat Hull, unquestionably. 2-11. I'm not telling you, know, I hate matches like this because you're not gonna tip a 2-11 poke because everybody knows they're gonna win. But you try and find some mileage in the odds elsewhere. And it's hard to. I mean, you mentioned you can ask for other odds on the game. Well, there's 257 bets already available on this match. I don't think what else you could have. You know, Costa to far while heading in at the far post. 8-1, I believe that is.
I think that's happened a few times this season already. Actually, Derek.
Squeaky bum time at the far post. I'd have to go. I'm going to have to go for Chelsea to run riot here. You know, it's one of those games. Sometimes when you see a team big price, for instance, Swansea at Liverpool, I've got an idea. They might give Liverpool a bit of a hard time. Similarly, Burnley at Arsenal. But this one, I just can't see how Hull are going to give Chelsea any problems. So I'm going to go for Chelsea minus 3 goals at 10-3. I like the look of that. It's a big price and it could easily cop.
Chelsea minus 3, 130 for Derek. I think one bet that I'd be sending in here, Tom, would be Costa to score and Costa to be booked. That'd be pretty popular. Hashtag your odds. You can obviously go for player markets now, players to be booked. You can link that with a player to score and a correct score and so on and so forth. So do check out hashtag your odds. It's definitely a good feature here with William Hill. Do you see this being as comprehensive as Derek mentioned, Chelsea minus 3, something like that?
Well, yeah, it's the ultimate contrast, isn't it? You know, it's Chelsea playing as well as they have done, and I don't think they or anybody was that upset or ruffled by their defeat at White Hart Lane. They came back with a bang, and Conte at the moment is a man for all seasons. Sometimes I hear managers moan, you know, quite a lot. They moan about various things, but you know, the amount of games that are played, you know, it's not necessarily the fixture congestion or the amount of matches. It's the time they have to work on the training pitch. And Conte's got so much time. You know, he's got time for players to, you know, to walk out on strike every other week if he wanted. And he'd still be able to pick together a team and put together a plan to just destroy the opposition. He's got too many players playing in unbelievable form. And the fact they're going up against a Hull side who are about to sell, Jake Livermore has been a good player for them so far this season. They lost 7 games on the bounce. They've not picked up a Premier League point away from home since September. And they're playing that badly. And the problem is for the Hull players now is they'll be looking at their next few fixtures. They go to Chelsea. They then go to Manchester United. They then host Liverpool. They then go to Arsenal. So by the time we get to the middle of February, Hull City could be in a much worse position. Things look all right now, but when you look at those next 4 fixtures, you'd maybe give Hull City maybe a point from those 4 games. I think that would be being pretty generous. So I think Chelsea, the kind of mood they're in, they've put these kind of sides to the absolute sword this season, and they'll do exactly the same then. Over 3.5 goals in the game is 11-8, minus 2 at 13-10, but Diego Costa has scored 2 or more at 5-2. I think if he plays, he will be on the score sheet at least a couple of times.
Do you think he'll bounce straight back then? He doesn't seem to be distracted, does he, by issues like this when he crosses that white line?
I don't think so. I just think, you know, I heard from one person who was around Chelsea saying that it was kind of blown out of proportion a little bit. He did have a little bit of a back problem, and you know, it's kind of been made into more than it was. But I think from Antonio Conte's point of view, I don't think he minds all of this because he's created such a healthy environment amongst the squad that the players kind of know that they need him, and I think he'll be welcomed back with open arms, really, because you know, while Chelsea will do all right without him, it's a big dent to their title chances if they can't rely on Diego Costa between now and the end of the season.
On to the non-televised matches. Crystal Palace versus Everton first, 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. Crystal Palace 11-5 to win the match. The draw 11-5 with Everton 7-5. Christian Benteke to score and Palace to win was 15-4. That's been enhanced to 4-1. And Tom Davies, who was sensational last weekend in Everton's win against Manchester City, him to score any time was 5-1. That's been enhanced to 8-1. Everton haven't lost to Palace at Selhurst Park in the league since way back in October 1994, winning 3 and drawing 2 since. And it was a big performance last weekend against Manchester City. Incredibly impressive. And in that midfield area, Tom, they bossed the game against some established superstars.
Yeah, well, they did. And, you know, a lot of it does have to do with how bad Man City were. But like, Everton were very good. You know, and the confidence will be high. But, you know, is this another kind of false dawn for Everton this season? You know, every now and then they pop up with results. And I still can't get much of a handle on Everton this season. You know, I think so far their January business has been pretty good. I mean, Luckman is a young talent who I know some people were looking at thinking, well, he's one for the future. He won't be. You know, he's been that good, admittedly in the lower divisions, but he is good enough, you know, to cause big problems for opposition sides in the Premier League. You know, and everything just went perfectly for Everton, didn't it? And it should go according to plan this weekend as well, because somebody needs to tell Sam Allardyce that his team are in a relegation battle. He seems the most relaxed man on the planet. Now, whether that is intentional, whether that is a different tack from him, but I don't think Crystal Palace have brought in the Sam Allardyce they thought they were bringing in. He's yet to really change anything. The team remains the same. They don't look tougher to beat. It was a limp performance against an average West Ham side. you know, last time out in the Premier League. They made hard work of getting through in the FA Cup against Bolton in midweek. I know Bolton are a decent side, but it was still a grind for them. I've got absolutely zero faith in Crystal Palace, and I've yet to see Sam Allardyce do a thing to turn it around. He hasn't got players playing better, and I just think they're a club that are feeling extremely sorry for themselves. My only concern about the game is, I'm looking at their opponents, Everton, thinking, yeah, great win last week, and I'm sure Everton will be going down a lot of people's accumulators this weekend. But at 7-5, have I got complete faith in them? This game is more about what Everton are about than Crystal Palace. I don't think Crystal Palace are a good side, but can Everton go there and back up a good performance with another result? Even though Palace aren't a good side. So I don't know why, I'm just unsure of the result, and I'm going to play goals in this one. I'm going to play over 2.5 goals at even money. I don't see Palace being any better defensively, and I see Everton, still their biggest strength for me is going forward, so I can see a few goals. I think Everton will get over the line, Everton winning over 2.5 goals at 5-2, but I don't know, there's something about the result in this, I'm unsure. I don't think Palace will win, but I can't necessarily trust Everton. So I'm just going to play goals in this over 2.5 at even money.
Over 2.5 even money for Tom. Maybe Big Sam's not the messiah after all, Derek.
No, I don't think he is. I mean, he's only been there, a few weeks. He's already presided over 3 Premier League defeats, or 3 Premier League losses, 4 if you count the dressing room, because I don't think this dressing room is playing for him. See, you know, when Allardyce takes over the side, they're generally in trouble, and the poor sides, and he'll get them scrapping and grinding and getting results somehow. Well, he's taken over a Crystal Palace side, and you can just see the players there think they're better than they actually are.
Yeah.
The players at Palace don't believe they're a relegation side, so they're not going to take to Allardyce's methods. And let's not beat about the bush about Allardyce's methods. There was a revealing interview in one of the papers a few weeks ago, Yunus Kabul, who I think played for him, I think it was Sunderland, and he basically did a number on Allardyce. And some of the things he said, they've gone unremarked, but they were really damning. And one of them was, well, you know, Sam, when he came to us, said, well, listen, just bypass midfield, do not play through midfield, get the ball, we want to stay up, do not go through midfield. If he's doing our Palace, when they've got some well-known midfield players there, they can buy this world, you know, the punchings, you know, the wide men, that ain't going to sit well with them. And I just don't think he's got players that are doing it for him. And Everton, the way they performed last week, well, if they perform half as well against Palace, they'll win this convincingly. But Tom is right. He hit the nail on the head there with those odds. 7-5 is a little bit of an overreaction to that one-off result. I mean, there has been a few false dawns in Everton's season. That could have been another one. All things being equal, though, they are a better side than Palace. And I think Palace is so easy to beat right now. 7-5, I'll have to back Everton, but I think they should be a little bit bigger.
On to Stoke versus Manchester United. Stoke are 5-1 to win the match. The draw 3-1. Manchester United 8-13. The enhanced odds: Marko Arnautovic to score and Stoke to win was 9-1. Now 12-1, and Zlatan Ibrahimovic to score and Manchester United to win was 29-20. That has been enhanced to 7-4. United had that plan B last weekend against Liverpool. And to a certain extent, Derek executed it, threw Mauro and Fellaini on, lumped the ball forward to him and Zlatan, and he eventually got the goal and they ended that game one apiece. But it felt, when we were previewing that match last weekend, Derek, that was an opportunity for Manchester United to make a statement against a depleted Liverpool side, and they failed to do so.
I was disappointed in the result, but I was very disappointed in Man United, to be honest. You do remember that football is a simple game, despite everybody trying to overcomplicate it. They're in trouble. Send on the big men and lump it forward. I mean, this is what they're doing at the top level. It's what Sunday league teams have been doing for a million years, you know. And so the special one went route one and get the claim for it. I'm not having that kind of thing, but it worked for United last week. They got the point. You know, they probably deserved, I would have to say. But 8-13 to beat Stoke, but they haven't got a great record recently. I'm not so sure. Stoke have just been showing signs of a real resurgence. I'm 5-1. I was saying a few weeks ago that United were playing superbly well, and I thought they were Chelsea's biggest, even though they're miles behind, Chelsea's biggest threat for the title. What I saw last week against Liverpool has made me think again. That was a lacklustre United performance in my eyes. And I think Stoke might do a number on them here. I don't think Stoke are the kind of team United want to come up against. Send on the big men against Stoke, it ain't going to do you much good. 5-1, I'm going to go for the passes here. I've just got a sneaking fancy for them.
I don't mention that record that Stoke have against Manchester United at the Britannia. It is good. They're unbeaten in their last three home league games against United, winning two and drawing one. And I was surprised, Tom, how easily they ripped into Sunderland last weekend. 3-0 up after 35 minutes. Comfortable victory for Stoke last weekend.
Yeah, they're capable of doing it. And let's not forget the comeback of the season, Peter Crouch. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, you know, all the focus might be on, you know, one particular larger-than-life striker at the weekend. But Peter Crouch, you know, he's emerging from Zlatan's shadow. It's a battle between two of the hot shots at the moment. Three goals, two assists since his comeback. He was completely out in the cold. I mean, they were talking the summer of them selling him. He's earned a contract extension. And he's been a key man for just knitting it all together. Wilfred Bony's not worked out whatsoever for Mark Hughes. And that's where I think he's getting a little bit of criticism for some of his transfer dealings. You know, when they've had big money to spend recently, he's not necessarily gone for the right ones. He, you know, he's still after Saido Berahino. So there's still a few issues for Stoke up front. But, you know, they're in good form. Look, they've had a tough run of fixtures. They've won just two of the last eight games. They've conceded a lot of goals. But they've been at Liverpool. They've been to Chelsea. So it's not been the easiest run of fixtures. The problem they've had at home, and this is where I see the difference in Stoke, that collapse against Leicester in the second half. They didn't beat Southampton when they arrived, not in the greatest form. They lost to Wolves as well in the FA Cup, which, you know, Stoke would have been looking at a cup this season, the FA Cup, and thinking we could go on a good run. They are kind of a set-up to be a cup side. But it's these big games. This is why Stoke have good records against teams like Arsenal and Manchester United at home, because the whole club absolutely lifts off the ground for this kind of fixture. And I agree with Derek. Manchester United, I don't know, I thought they were a little bit flat. And, you know, talk about Stoke raising themselves for a big game. I don't think many of the Manchester United players could until they went behind, and all of a sudden it became a little bit desperate. So I think Manchester United are going to find it pretty tough here. I think, you know, Stoke have gone back they're kind of a looser version of what they were under Tony Pulis. They still work hard at the back, but they now concede more goals. And going forward, they've got that little bit more flair. And I think there are players, again, that will rise to the occasion. And Arthur's got a couple of goals last week, and he's the kind of player I'd look at and think, yeah, he's the man who would rise to this kind of occasion. I think you get some good goal scorer prices here. And Arthur, for example, 14-5 any time. Peter Crouch is exactly the same. I'm unsure about the result. I'm probably going to look at the draw overall. I think the draw at 3-1 is nicely priced for me, because I think Stoke will score goals and cause Manchester United problems. But Manchester United do have this resilience. They've come from behind in a lot of games recently, and I think they'll leave Stoke City with something.
Bournemouth versus Watford next. Bournemouth 17-20, the draw 13-5, Watford 7-2. Benik Afobe to score and Bournemouth to win was 2-1, that's now 5-2. Troy Deeney to score and Watford to win was 13-2, now 8-1. Tom, not a surprise that Watford Middlesbrough finished 0-0 last weekend. Barely a chance in that game, but Watford had the best opportunity to break the deadlock. They head to Bournemouth, who surprised for all the wrong reasons last weekend, losing 3-1 away at Hull. That came on the back of that beating at Millwall in the FA Cup, and it kind of vindicated the criticism Eddie Howe received for fielding a weakened team in that match. It didn't work out for Bournemouth.
Well, it didn't, and it said something about the FA Cup, didn't it, when Bournemouth are making 11 changes, you know, to their team. And I don't know, again, you know, Bournemouth are a team, every single week we talk about them, I always like them, I like everything about what they do, but I haven't been able to really get them right very often this season. And, you know, their early season form has left themselves in a good position. They're 11th in the table. They're 9 points above the drop zone. You know, they're not going to be in trouble, and this is the kind of game that you'd expect them to win. I mean, you know, Watford are just a team on the slide. You know, if there's one team that are going to drop right into trouble, I think people are looking at Watford as being that side, because, you know, you're looking at their kind of next set of fixtures and you're thinking it's going to be tough for them. They've got to go to Arsenal, they've got to go to Manchester United over the next few weeks. But Bournemouth at home, they've got Watford, they've got Palace coming up, they've got West Ham and Swansea in their next five home games. So I think they'll be targeting you know, a big haul of points, and that's all they've got to do, really, Bournemouth. I think sometimes they get caught in two minds. They have this way of playing going forward, but, you know, defensively they leave themselves open, and sometimes they give themselves so much work to do. I mean, I remember the game that sticks in my mind was the home match against Southampton, you know, a few weeks back, where they lost 3-1 just before Christmas. And, you know, I really fancied them in that game, but they just got caught. They didn't really know what to do at any particular point in the game, and in the end teams kind of take advantage. But look, they're playing against Watford, and they're no good. So Bournemouth for me on the outright at 17-20, and although Watford might try and keep things tight, I can see goals in it because generally there are in Bournemouth games. So the Bournemouth win and over 2.5 goals is what I'd play at 9-5.
Bournemouth versus Watford, 17-20. Bournemouth draw 13-5. Watford 7-2. Derek, Watford without a win in 6 in the Premier League now head to Bournemouth. What do you think?
This is similar to the Southampton game, isn't it? The odds are the same as well for Bournemouth, 17-20. For a side that's not playing well and a side that has to score 4 goals these days to win a match. They keep conceding 3 against, you know, mediocre opposition, which is then Dan Watford definitely come under that heading. I can't back Bournemouth at odds on here. I really can't. I'm just sick. It's Watford they're playing because they are useless. And they've got a manager. I mean, when you've got a manager who can't speak a word of English, I don't see how that can work. I really don't see how it can possibly work. It falls into my old chestnut, doesn't it? A team away from home, over 3-1 in the Premier League, playing against, you know, a side way below the best, which Watford come under. Bournemouth come under. I've got to go for Watford here. Even though I've got no faith in them whatsoever, I would sooner back them. If I was a bookmaker, I would sooner take bets on Bournemouth at 17-20 than I would at Watford at 7-2. And sometimes when I'm undecided about a game, that's my acid test. So no confidence whatsoever. But if I'm having a bet on it, it will be Watford at those odds.
Middlesbrough versus West Ham. Middlesbrough 6-4 to win the game. The draw 21-10 with West Ham 11-5 here with William Hill. The enhanced odds, Alvaro Negredo to score and Middlesbrough to win was 3-1. That's been enhanced to 4-1. And Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win was 4-1. Now 5-1. Pretty impressive last week, Derek, West Ham. That wonder strike by Andy Carroll. Was that better than the Scorpion kick goals for you or not?
Yeah, it was. It was better. And I'm amazed I'm saying that because I just can't have Carroll. You know, my criticism of him over the years. He's just not. If he was 6 inches shorter, he'd be a bin man. He's got no pace. He doesn't seem to have much of anything, really, apart from aerial prowess. But what a goal that was. And it makes me, you know, it makes me think back to the Fernando Torres days for Liverpool, because I was his biggest critic, and I remember playing in my younger days, and you play within the team with somebody, and you think, how is this guy getting in the team? He's useless. And then all of a sudden he'll score a goal, and you think, how has he done that? How could he possibly have done that? Well, Torres was like that for Liverpool, and Carroll was like that last week. I can't explain that goal. It was wonderful, and probably the goal of the season so far. He'll never do it again. The match. I don't know what to think about this. I mean, the Middlesbrough 0-0 draw last week was the biggest save of all time. And I can see this being a similar kind of contest, you know. Great performance by West Ham, but you can't catch them, right? You just don't know what you're going to get from West Ham. Maybe the Dimitri Payet business has unified the rest of the squad, and hence that would explain their improved form last week. But I'm going to have to play low on the goals here, I think. I can see this being, under 1.5 goals, I'll say, at 2-1.
Yeah, 2-1 under 1.5 goals. I've been quite complimentary, Tom, about iTalker Anchor on this podcast in previous weeks, but God, it must be painful watching them sometimes.
Well, it is, and you know, I know a couple of Middlesbrough season ticket holders, and you know, obviously at the beginning of the season they'd have taken Premier League survival at any cost, but they do have reservations about cranking. It was the criticisms he was actually getting last year as they kind of limped towards the line and getting promoted was that, you know, plan Bs and the kind of attacking football. You know, you kind of look at the game now, and the managers that have taken a lot of praise over the years, it's been because they can cultivate and create, you know, great attacking sides or very good attacking sides. And it is easier to set up a team to defend than it is to attack. And he's had money to spend in the transfer market. And I think Middlesbrough fans are already starting to look at the next level. I mean, the aim of the game is to win football matches. And Middlesbrough have won as many games as Crystal Palace, Hull, Sunderland and Swansea. It's the fact that they've drawn you know, twice as many as those sides is the only reason they are 4 points above them in the table. So, you know, in terms of winning matches, they are poor, but what they can do is they don't concede. And Swansea, Sunderland, Hull, Palace, defensively, they're atrocious. So it's obviously the right aim for them to do exactly what they're doing, but you can't back them to win games. I mean, 4 wins from 21 games in the Premier League means Middlesbrough are never a team I'm going to put in any accumulator or back them at almost any price. I've got no. It doesn't matter who they were playing against at home because they struggle to score goals. West Ham, yeah, you know, a little bit buoyed by that. Payet's out of the WhatsApp group, isn't he? The West Ham squad have removed him, so I think it's curtains for Payet there. But it will bring them together a little bit more. I just think teams have got to go up to Middlesbrough now and think, well, we can take them on. If we get a goal, you know, if we score the first goal in a game, I think you're on the way to winning the game, because I don't think Middlesbrough will be able to respond. So Middlesbrough will want to keep it tight. It's difficult to look past the draw here at 21-10. Given the amount of draws Middlesbrough have had this season, given that West Ham would probably take it, then that's where I would head at the draw.
I think the most amazing thing about that WhatsApp group, Tom, was that Pedro Obiang was the administrator.
The only thing he's administrated in his entire life, I would guess. I'd like to see which owner. I bet Julian Dix is in there somewhere, posing as somebody.
West Brom versus Sunderland, the last game we're going to preview on the podcast. West Brom 7-10 to win it. The draw 5-2 with Sunderland at 5-1. Enhanced odds, Salomon Rondon to score and West Brom to win. Wolves 13-8, now 2-1. And Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win. Wolves 13-2. That's been enhanced to 8-1. West Brom unbeaten in their last five Premier League meetings with Sunderland, although four of those have ended level. And Sunderland's last win, last Premier League win at the Hawthorns came back in January 2006. West Brom odds on 7-10 to win this game, Tom.
Yeah, it's not an immediately attractive price, is it? Even the fact that the secret is well and truly out about West Brom this season. You know, I've stopped being shocked when I look at the league table, you know, on Teletext and they're on the first page, because they've done extremely well and at home, you know, they've been scoring a lot of goals. The only teams that have gone there and beaten them have been Manchester United, Manchester City, and Everton this season. So at home, generally, they're pretty good. And Derby County in the FA Cup, which again, you know, is a little bit of a disappointment for them. But Watford, Swansea and Hull, they've beaten with relative ease. They have conceded in all those three goals, which may be a way to play here. West Brom will win because Sunderland have gone back to being the side that they were. They've almost gone backwards. You know, 6-7 weeks ago, they were conceding soft goals. They were throwing away the match inside the first half. And they've done that recently, haven't they, in their most recent games, not only the FA Cup defeat at Burnley, but the home game against Stoke. They had to get something from that one. Did all right against Liverpool, you know. So they're a team that are worrying me at the moment, Sunderland. You know, the players that are away in African Cup of Nations duty have certainly hammered them. But West Brom is 7-10. Something about them, I still can't back them at that kind of price, but I can back them to win the game and both teams to score. And so this match will follow a similar trend to the games they've had against Watford, against Hull and against some other sides down at the bottom of the table at home.
West Brom 14-5 to win the game, both teams to score in the match as well. Only Sergio Aguero and Harry Kane, Derek, have scored more Premier League goals than Jermaine Defoe since the start of last year. He's got 23. He has been incredible for the away side. Are you attracted by 5-1 Sunderland or not?
You know what, I should be, because you look at these odds and anybody 5-1 to win at the Hawthorns is a good bet, you'd think. But it's Sunderland, and the way they performed last week, you know, against, I can't remember who it was, 3-0 down in within, you know, half an hour. There's too many performances like that for Sunderland, and I can't back them with any confidence. Even though I watched them against Liverpool a few weeks ago, albeit at home, and I thought the effort they put in was amazing. Everything that was good about them then was bad about them last week. And you've got to fear for the manager, David Moyes. He could soon be Gollum but not forgotten at Sunderland because things aren't going. It's not what he expected when he got there. And West Brom, 7-10. I don't think I've ever backed West Brom at odds on, but I'm prepared to do so here because all their wins have come against teams in the, I think, in the bottom. All their wins at the Hawthorns have come against teams in the bottom half. They polished them off. They cherry-pick the matches they're going to win, and this is right on the top of their list. So, yeah, it doesn't sit easy with me. I don't think I've ever done it before. I probably will never do it again. But West Brom are odds on. Yeah, that's the way to go.
7-10, West Brom for Derek. Let's finish with the naps then, chaps. Who wants first bite? Tom, Derek?
Are we not having an update after my 13-5 triumph last week?
I've forgotten to bring the naps table in, Derek. So
isn't that funny when I have a winner?
I've had about 8 straight losers now as well. That early season profit has dissipated quickly. So no naps table update this weekend. Well done with that winner, though, Derek, last weekend.
Yes, thank you very much. You know what? I'm going to go for Leicester, 4-1 at Southampton.
Wow. Leicester to win at Southampton 4-1. Mr. Kerwin?
Tottenham at Man City.
Tottenham to win at Manchester City 13-5. And I'm going to complete the treble with Olivier Giroud to score first. Arsenal versus Burnley, which is a bet that has landed with regularity in recent weeks. So that treble, Leicester 4-1 to win at Southampton. Tottenham 13-5 to win at City. Giroud to score first, Arsenal versus Burnley at 3-1, 71-1, chaps, that treble this weekend.
Nice. Very nice.
Thank you for your company. Thank you, Derek.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming on the podcast this week. Thanks, Tom.
It's okay.
If you want to check out all the William Hill odds for the Premier League, please do. Go to sports.williamhill.com, click on football and click on the Premier League. Check this podcast out on iTunes. Again, subscribe, get it delivered weekly by typing in William Hill. The rest of the on-demand audio is available at audioboom.com as well. Again, type in William Hill. And if you're having a bet on the Premier League this weekend, good luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.